Can you guys hear me way in the back? Okay? Yeah? Great. Again, it's good to be here on another Wednesday. God just seems to keep bringing us through every week. And that's something to be thankful for. Oftentimes we get in the rat race of life. And, you know, days come and they go. And we forget to thank God for the things that we just take for granted every day. We ought to stop and give thought to the fact, not just to harp on or to think about things that are, you know, kind of potentially sad or whatever. But some people who were here yesterday aren't here today. And it's only by the grace of God that we are. And, you know, it's the simple things that, you know, we can just overlook sometimes. See, God is worthy to be praised. And He's worthy to be praised all the time for everything. For everything. Every breath of air that we draw in. Not only is God worthy to be praised, guess what? He wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified. And that's where we come in. Because we are the created, His workmanship. And we are to give Him praise. So, thank God for being here today. We're going to continue our study on the local church. Up to this point, I guess the primary thing that we looked at in terms of focusing in on what the mission of the local church is our responsibility. That's the foundation that I kind of wanted to lay. The mission of the local church boils down to it's my mission, it's your mission, it's our mission. Nothing gets done without us actually doing it, putting our hands to the plow and moving forward. So it is from that foundation that we're going to launch into looking at, first off this evening, just a couple of the real core things that just kind of jump off the pages of inspiration when you talk about the church and what the church's work is and what the mission of the church is. We spent a little bit of time last week talking about the organization of the local church. Basically, we covered the idea that we have elders, deacons, ministers, and then we have members in the local church. And the significance of that and how we're going to build on that today is that there's no other structure in the scripture that's given. So, when we talk about the local church, that's where the work kind of comes from. God has designed this such that the work emanates from the local church. One of the things that I didn't get a chance to mention last week is the beauty of that in God's design in terms of having the autonomy of the local church. And again, I'll talk a little bit about the other side of that. And I think sometimes we understand full well the autonomy of the local church, and it can tend to limit us or restrict us from working hand in hand with our brothers and sisters who are also in the body of Christ at other local congregations. So we have to make sure that we aren't, you know, restricting what God has not restricted. But one of the things that we are assured of by following God's plan and pattern is that if one congregation actually apostatizes, falls away, starts, you know, going off to the left, away from the Bible, that only impacts what? That one congregation. And it doesn't impact the entire brotherhood, all of the, you know, the churches in a diocese or, you know, or anything like that. And so again, you know, that's all a part of God's awesome and wonderful design. And sometimes you just think, you know, if only we just stuck to what God said, everything would be so much better in everything all the time. So we covered the idea that there is the local church and what its organization is. And we also talked about the mission of the church and how we ought to take it very personally. You know, because, you know, we are members of the church. Members in particular, we're all in the body of Christ. We've been placed here by Christ. And what that means is that we need to have an inward look in terms of what is the church doing? Well, you know, what am I doing? And opposed to what are the elders doing? What are the deacons doing? What are the other members doing? So if we all have that attitude, now we're in a place where you know, we can really begin to work out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling, right? And that's what it's about. We don't work out somebody else's salvation. We're supposed to work out our own salvation. And a part of that is fulfilling the mission of the church. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 19. In 10, because there's no sense in beating around this, you know, because what we're going to look at here is ultimately, you know, what this is all about. And everything else that we kind of talk about, we'll kind of look at different aspects of this and the how-tos and how this can be broken down. But in Luke chapter 19, and I'll start, I guess, in verse number 9, and this is Jesus responding to Zacchaeus. He says, "And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man," speaking of himself, "is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And you kind of can't squeeze this in a nutshell, because this is big. You know, nutshell stuff tends to be small. But the mission of God, the mission of the Lord as he was here, the mission of his body, the mission of the church is to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, we talked about the idea that we are the spiritual body of Christ, right? And so, you know, sometimes we really have to spend some time really thinking about that, because, you know, it's a literal thing. It's we are the spiritual body of Christ. We put on Christ in baptism. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his mouth. We are the body of Christ. So, the mission of Christ, it hasn't changed. That's what he came to do, and he's fulfilling that even today through the church, which is us. So, we need to understand that that's what we're talking about. We're talking about seeking and saving the lost. Now, when you consider the word seeking, what does that kind of signify? Activity. Active? Yes. A deliberate act? Mm-hmm. Seeking. Now, here's the contrast. And, you know, I already talked a couple classes ago the fact that I'm not trying to beat us up. But seeking kind of is the opposite of coming together, sitting in between the four walls and kind of, you know, not having that activity or that deliberate action. Seeking, you know, when you are seeking, you're looking for something. You're searching something out. There's some diligence to it as well. You're looking for something. You're going out, and you're not just in one place, not paying attention, you know, seeking the lost such that they can be saved. And again, you're talking about being saved. You know, the only place that one can be saved is where? In Christ, in the church, in the body. So, this mission to seek and to save the lost is what we signed on for. And if we did not understand that fully, we ought to understand that fully, because without seeking and saving the lost, which we were at one point in time, and somebody, you know, put forth an effort to seek us out that we might be saved, and it's a perpetual thing that we're charged to do, if that's not what our focus is, if that's not what our understanding is, nothing else matters. Absolutely nothing else matters. Because now we're reduced to, yeah, I'm not sure what, you know, the body would be reduced to, a social club, you know, but this is the foremost mission of the church. Yes. Mm-hmm. And this isn't in the lesson, but one of the key things about that, and we're going to touch on the concept of love here in a little while. Love ought to compel us to do what we're talking about. The love of men, the love of souls, the love of God should, you know, make us stand up, get up and move and tell somebody about what they need to know, what they need to hear, that's able to save their souls. And without that, you know, we aren't, again, fulfilling the mission. But that love is the driving factor, because we know, we have a full awareness and understanding of what's on the other side. You know, there's no in between. You know, there's going to be those who are enjoying the bliss and the comfort of God in the heavenly places. And then there are those who will, you know, have quite the opposite experience throughout all eternity. And that is hell, fire, and damnation. And so, in order to help people to be on the side, you know, of Abraham and in his bosom and with Christ and with God eternally in heaven, there's a job that must be done, and that is to seek and save the lost through the teaching and preaching of the gospel. So that's ultimately what the job of the church is, what the mission of the church is. Now, one of the things that's associated with that, obviously we get to, is, and we're going to touch on just a few things with that could be considered, you know, part of the mission of the church, before we get to the subtopic of today, which is the local church and we're going to look at it from a different perspective too. But the next thing we want to talk a little bit about is evangelism. Evangelism is one of the key tools that we employ to fulfill that mission that we talked about, to seek and save the lost. Turn over, if you will, to a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 28. And if somebody could read verse 18 through 20 for us, nice and loud. Thank you. So, Jesus is one who said, you know, Son of Man is here to seek and to save the lost. Here he's given the prescription for how to do that, indicating that, number one, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth, and now this is what you do. You go and you teach all nations, baptizing them. That word go, read a book, go ye, means go. You know, me is what that means. And so it carries with it the same idea of the seeking that we talked about, right? You're going out after something. You're, you know, on your way. And on your way, your objective here is to teach. And we're teaching the gospel. Teach all nations. And I love that word all, because all leaves absolutely nothing out, right? When you talk about all, when you know, that leaves nothing out. And let me stop there for a minute. What that means to us, what it should mean to us, what it should register to us, is that everybody needs what we have. Everybody. The person you like, the person you don't care for, the person who's tall, short, you know, everybody. So the question is, as we're on our way going to fulfill the Great Commission, to seek and to save the lost, do we have, or how is it that we can bring ourselves not to share this story with this particular person? How do we do that? Well, you know, we probably do it all the time. It's probably a lot easier than, you know, I'm not trying to suggest that you know, it's not an easy thing to do. What I am trying to suggest is that it is not the appropriate thing to do. Who remembers coming up out of the water and being just absolutely on fire for the Lord? Who remembers that? I want to see shows of hands. When I came up out of the water, I made almost a beeline to Hartford, Connecticut. I was baptized in Maryland. My mom was still worshiping and practicing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I had the truth. The soonest I could get home, I was home. And, you know, it's not uncommon for us to have all-night sessions when, you know, you get home, you know, because you haven't seen any. But this was unlike anything that we've ever experienced before. Because we fought all night long. We would get so heated that we kind of go off into the other room, and then the next day we came back, and well, what about, you know? And looking back on it, what was so beautiful about it, of course, and here's the kicker, I knew all of two scriptures, you know. What in the world did I know? You know, I knew what I knew, but it wasn't very much. But I was just, she needed to know. They needed to know. Because I had this, I'd come across the truth. And I recognized it for the truth. I obeyed that truth. And I was just so on fire. And I'm sharing this, you know, knowing that it's, you know, that's not unique. We were all there at that point in time. Now, the question is, do we still have that fire? God hasn't changed. That truth hasn't changed. You know, what has changed about us? Now, since that time, I know a whole lot more about this book than I did at that point in time. You know, in hindsight, you know, it's like you should have, you know, just kind of sent somebody else. I mean, you know, it's like, because I probably confused more than, you know, but see, God was with me, and, you know, my mom ended up being baptized, and all of my immediate family members and their husbands, you know, have been baptized into Christ. So, and the point of that is that, you know, this is the way it's supposed to work. The only way it can happen, though, if we on the front lines do our job, our part, and that is to plant into water. We've got to take the seed of the gospel, and we have to be zealous about it, and we have to really just go out there, and we have to drop those seeds and plant those seeds everywhere. Think about it. I don't know how many of you know about farming. I know just a little bit, never grew up on a farm, never farmed too much of anything, actually. But what I do know about farming is when you're farming and you're out there planting the seeds, right? You're planting seeds, you know, in down the whole row. You don't look at this row and say, well, you know, that I don't like that row, so I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, plant in this row. And you don't skip every other row or just, you know, have preferential treatment of the different. No, you plant the whole field. And you don't miss a spot because you plant with the expectation that something's going to grow. It's going to yield fruit. And that's how we ought to approach the fields out here that are white and ready for the harvest, which are people. Everywhere we go, we ought to have something to share, something to say. We have to be ready to plant those seeds to everybody. And I'm kind of coming back to that because we tend to stay in our comfort zones. And what I want to share about that is not okay. We don't have the right to stay in our comfort zone. And we can rationalize that really well. We can. But we don't have the right to do that. God has given us something. He's given us a commandment. He's given us His word. And we are not to discriminate where we plant that seed. We need to plant at every possible place. Now, we have no idea, you know, which seed is going to take root. But again, that's the beauty of the gospel and God's design. We don't have to worry about that now, do we? He didn't say, you worry about making this grow. He just said, seek and save the lost by going out and preaching the gospel. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded. So again, you know, teach, people will heed, obey, respond to the gospel, and then we continue to teach so that, you know, we're armed with more than that one or two scriptures to go and share with everybody else. So, evangelism, huge part of what the a part of our mission to seek and save the lost. Now, turn over to 1 Timothy 4, if you will. And I'll go ahead and read this, starting in verse number 11. These things command I. Wow, still hear some pages turning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in the world in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And there's a lot in this passage of scripture, but what I want to focus on is on verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So when we're talking about the doctrine of Christ, which is what we're carrying out in that great commission, we're going and that's what we're teaching. We're teaching the doctrine of Christ. That doctrine of Christ is what is going to save the souls of men. We're to give attention to it. Take heed to it. Stay in it. Stay in it. Stay in it. And then teach it. And teach it and teach it. Why? Well, because this doctrine is able to save men's soul. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So, the other thing I wanted to point out here is the focus is not just on, you know, who you're taking the gospel to, who you're taking the doctrine of Christ to. But notice the first person here that it's going to save. It shall save both thyself and then that hear thee. So that gives us some indication, some understanding, some awareness that, you know, if I don't stay or continue in the doctrine, then, you know, I'm in jeopardy of being just as lost as those other folks out there. So, and this is how it works too. The more that's in you, the more that can come out of you. You know, the more Jesus that's in you, the more folks are going to see Jesus in you. The more knowledge you have about the Word, the more able and apt you are going to be to share the Word. The more you study, the more it's going to be on your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he. So, it all kind of works together. As Christians, what we have to do is, the Scripture is here teaching us, continue in the doctrine. Continue in the Word. Continue in the study thereof. We never should get to a point where we think we're okay, where we're safe, where we've got it made. You know, that's, you know, because we don't. I mean, the Scripture tells us that the righteous are going to scarcely make it. You know, I mean, I intend to make it, but I need to make my calling and election sure every day. Paul said, I buffet myself daily, right? So we can never get to a place or a point where we think we've got it, or we can take a break. Why would we want to take a break from the wonderful works of God? Now, let me stop there for just a second, because we have competing interests. We have lots of competing interests. Work, family, extracurricular activities. I mean, hobbies. And they just, it is more and more and more. The bottom line is this. Is that we need to make sure that we're taking care of first things first. Because that second or third thing can easily supplant that first thing. That first love. It's written about. You've lost your first love. Well, you know, we have to make sure that that doesn't happen to us. And how do we do that? Well, to continue in the doctrine. And it's not the only thing. We're going to get to edification and exhortation in just a minute. But that plays a part of it too. So, but the point that I wanted to make here is that as we give ourselves over to God's Word, study of God's Word, the continuation in the doctrine, to, you know, really absorb it. And, you know, and the funny thing about it, the weird thing about it, is we all know, as students of the Bible, the more you study, the more you know you don't know. You know, how many times have you picked up a passage of Scripture that you know, you've taught on, you know, studied for, you know, for years, and you got something brand new out of it. You know, another door has just opened. God's revealed something else to you about that Scripture you've been quoting since you were in the fourth grade. I mean, God's Word is alive, and so we should never tire of it. It's not like, you know, reading the same old book over and over again. You know, you read a novel, there's not much that's going to change from, you know, the first reading to the fifth reading, because it's, you know, it's what it is. It's words on a page. The Word of God is alive. Absolutely. It's deliberate. It's something that we need to take heed to, give attention to. It's deliberate. Yes. Absolutely. And basically, James says, don't be just hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. It's not just enough to, you know, for us to know what the Scripture teaches. But again, it has to be something that becomes a part of who we are and how we're living our lives. And so, going back to the Scripture I referenced, you know, the scarcity, the righteous are going to scarcely make it. I mean, that's it's not enough just to know. It's not enough to be lukewarm either, right? Because, you know, the Bible talks about that. You know, those lukewarm folks, they had the knowledge. They had the understanding. They had the relationship even. But they were lukewarm. And God said, I will vomit you out. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of, you know, that's what we're up against. That's what we signed on for. And so, what that signifies, and I'll talk a little bit about being on fire. God wants fire. He wants that desire. He wants that burning desire, that fire in our hearts, in our lives, every day. He's worthy. Is he not? I mean, look what all that he has done for us. Let's consider who he is. He is the great I Am. He spoke it all into existence. He formed us, created us, redeemed us. He's Jehovah God. And so, how is it that we can ever, we who have a relationship with Him, can get to the place where we take Him for granted? Beautiful. Did everybody hear that? You know, the perspective is that God created everybody. He desires everybody to be saved. And so we ought to have enough love for God to want to bring all of His children back home. Because that is what is going to please God. Wow. It's a beautiful way to look at it. It's very good. And that leads us to one of the next things that we'll go ahead and start. And it deals with edification. Edification. Turn to let's start in Ephesians chapter 4. And you know what? Let's do this. Because there's a lot that we're going to deal with in terms of edification. And so let's hold off on that until next week. Because, you know, it's a really good segue, because one of the other functions or, you know, tools in the church that we have to complete this mission is the edification, the encouragement, and the exhortation one of another. And I want to make sure that we have enough time to do that justice, as well as benevolence. But let's go ahead and look at a couple of passages of Scripture that deal with benevolence, because benevolence also, in my mind, ties into what we're talking about in terms of helping one another. Where does the time go? Time just gets away. Let me ask whether or not there are any questions or comments or thoughts. oftentimes don't kind of get a chance to entertain questions or to, you know, allow you guys to breathe and to share. So let me try that tonight. Yes. And when we finally get around to dealing with exhortation and edifying one another, we help to stoke one another's fire. That's what we do. And if you think about it, torches, right? You have a torch, it's on fire. Got another torch. If this torch comes in contact with this torch, what happens to this torch? It's ablaze. And so as many torches as you have that are in close proximity as Christians are to be, whether it's in worship, in fellowship, in work, then, you know, when one is on fire, and I want you to think about this too. Think about a time in the recent, you know, history or in the past where you saw somebody, you were around somebody who was just on fire for the Lord. Now, I'm not looking for any confessions here, but, you know, that can do one or two things depending on where we are at the particular point in time. We can allow that to help us catch fire too, so that we're excited and we're joining in the work that that person's all excited about. Or what's the opposite of that? Be like, oh goodness, too much energy. Oh, they'll be okay. It'll wear down. I mean, you know, and again, you know, it can happen to the best of us from time to time if we're not careful. And the reason that I think we need to talk about these things, we need to identify these things, that we need to hold each other accountable in these areas, is because that's the road to hell. Let's call it for what it is. If I'm never on fire for the Lord, if I'm not excited, if I'm not working, if I'm not, why in the world would I think I'm going to heaven? And how in the world are you going to let me just drift off to hell? That's a real reality of it. Because again, that lukewarmness, that doesn't play with God. You know, we can be satisfied with one another sometimes in a relationship where somebody isn't really giving 100% because, you know, oh well, you know, I'll settle. God doesn't settle. And we don't have to guess about that. He's told us that. He doesn't settle. He wants what he wants. We're obligated to give him what he wants. And we're obligated to one another, talking about those relationships, to make sure that we're giving God what he wants. Because we know, and so we have to help one another get to heaven. That's a part of why he put us in the body together. And And that's the cold, hard facts, as they say. You know, and the reality is, that is the reality. And I think, you know, in next week we're going to get to a passage of Scripture that talks about the understanding. We sing with the understanding. We pray with the understanding. Everything that we do must be done with the correct understanding. And I think if we had that understanding, some of the pressure would be taken off of us. That would liberate us a little bit more to take that gospel to people. Because, you know, intellectually we know that without it they're lost. And I think, too, again, it's not a new concept for us to understand if we, as his children, don't do what he tells us to do, that we're just as lost, you know, as anybody else. So those aren't novel or new concepts, but we do have to have a certain level of understanding. And I think once we get that understanding, it will help us a little bit more. Yes. Yeah, that teaching has to happen because that's what grounds us. Our time has expired. Thank you so much for your attention. And Lord willing, we'll be able to resume again on next week. Thank you so much.